Okay. Kafei Omud Aleph, we are nearing the end of the perek. As often happens, each perek has its own rhythm, and I wouldn't swear this is true in each and every perek in Shas, but each and every perek in Shas, but sometimes you get the sense that as you get near the end of the perek, the pace kicks up, the material gets a little lighter. I've noticed this in a variety of cases. So, as the Mesechtot are ordered. How are the Mesechtot ordered?
By length.
So
the shorter ones tend to have lighter material. You have a million halachot about something that is.
But not always. That's often the case. You know, the Rambam has in the Perush Mishnayot, the Rambam has this very famous drasha explaining why this Masechta comes after that Masechta and so on and so forth throughout Shas, which is a very nice drusha, except we know that the Masechtot are ordered according to length. So we learn this Mishnah about a variety of statements that a prayer leader or someone else might make with which we silence him. These are not things to be said out loud in general or specifically in the context of tefillah. So the Gemara says, I won't go through them all again because the Gemara will repeat them. The Gemara says, Bishlama modim modim. One of the things that we silence is if a person says, when we say modim anachnu loch, if a person says modim modim, he repeats the word modim. Why? Bishlama modim modim dimechse kishte rishuyot. Because it appears like he is acknowledging two different gods. Right? He's saying thank you to this god, thank you to that god. The Zoroastrians. Okay.
That was their thing.
What?
The Persian religion that was very prominent in the time of the Amorites.
Yes, but they would have had to have been prominent in the times of the Tanoim as well to get into the Mishnah.
Well, no, but they didn't say that's it's their perush.
I see. Okay. Va'al tov yiskor shemecha. Right? As if somebody says that God's name should be remembered for all the good that he does, Nami, he's also silenced. Why? Demashma al tov in valra lo. Because it makes a thing. You're thanking God for all the good, but not for the bad. What's wrong with that? Tanan. There's a Mishnah in Brachos that says, Chayav Adam levarech al hara'a keshem shumevarech al hatova. In other words, it's only in this world that tov and ra are experienced as different things. But all of God's actions, even those that are experienced by us as Ra, all of God's actions are
good.
Are from Him.
Meaning it's like the Shteir Rishuyot, because you might think, the good ones are from God and the bad ones are from the devil.
Yes.
But the idea that we bless God even for the Ra, that is a bracha, Baruch Dayin HaEmet. Right, is a statement of our acceptance of God's of Kabbalah Dol Malchut Shemayim. Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, the first two nicha I give you. Ella, al kan sipor yagir rachamecha. If a person says God's mercy even extends unto the little birdie in her nest, what is that talking about? Shiluach Hakim. Right. So if you say that God's mercy extends even to the bird's nest, mashtikinota, why? The Torah says it. My taima, what's the reason? Pligi bo tre amuroi. So it's a machlokas amuroi. Pligi bo tre amuroi b'marava. Two eretz marava, of course, is eretz Yisrael. So two eretz Yisrael amuroim disagreed about this. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin. Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Chad Amar Mipnei Shematil Kina B'Maase Bereshit. What does that mean? Hitil Kina. Rashi says Lomar Al Ha'Ofot Chas V'Ala Behemot V'Chayot Eino Chas. So he said, "What's the problem? Because it makes it look that God is extra merciful to the birds and their little nests and eggs, but the other behemoth, no." As when you go into the pen, if you want to have veal chops tonight, Did you have veal chops?
I did not. Leftover chicken.
Yeah. Would you have liked veal chops?
Wouldn't have complained.
Yeah. So you go in to
take... I don't complain about leftover chicken either.
If you go in to take the... That's exactly the point. Kishem shemivarech alato. So you want to get your veal chops, so you go into the Eder to take out the little egel. You don't have to shoo away the mother cow. Right? There's no parallel shiluach.
But in the can't shech
them. No, there's otovet bana, which we'll come to in a minute. You can't shech them both on the same day.
Right?
When shiluach haken doesn't mean you want the eggs. You want to make a chavita. So you take the eggs. Right? So it's not that you're shechting the mother bird. Just the mother bird shouldn't see you taking the eggs. So you shoo away the mother bird so she doesn't see. Right? And the assumption is that birds aren't so... Birds have the bird brains. She'll come back and she won't notice. Remember, are you my mother? Right? But she shouldn't witness it. So one of the Amoraim said the problem is that it's Matil Kinab Maaseh Bereshit. Right, it makes it look that God is merciful to the birds, but not to the other animals. V'chad amar mipnei she'oseh midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim, ve'einan ela gzerot. No. The problem is the statement itself. Al kan sipur yagia rachamecha. That the ascription of or the presumption of knowing what God's intentions are in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Right? The purpose of doing... What's the purpose of doing Shiluach? Which Amora is this like? I mean, which Amora? Which Baal Machshav is this like? You're thinking of Leibowitz, right? The purpose of the mitzvah is not because of the mercy of God... Right, either merciful to,
the birds or to us,
or to engender mercy in us, which we'll see in a moment, is a machlokes from the Rambam and the Ramban. Right, but it's because HaKadosh Baruch was mitzaveh, just like it was mitzaveh not to wear shatnez, he was mitzaveh not to take the egg unless you shoot the mother bird away, right, and to say this statement about God's mercy, in the pasuk, does it say anything about mercy? Read the pasuk. You have the pasuk here. Right? Ki yikar. What's that song? It was featured in an episode of Shtisel last year. There's a song they sing in the Chadarim and the Ganim about, Kan Sipur. Don't you watch Shtisel?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Two seasons?
No, the third season.
Right. They've done two. What about Shababnikim? It's no shtisel. Ki yikare kan sipor lefanecha baderech bechol eitz o al haaretz efrochim o beitzim v'haem rovetzet ala efrochim o ala beitzim lo tikach haem ala banim shalech tishalach et haem v'et habanim tikach lecha loch l'man yitav lecha v'arachti yamim. What emotion is ascribed here?
None.
No,
describe it literally. No.
Not figuratively.
No, you're feeling for it, but it's not.
You can anthropomorphize any emotion you want into this, but the Pshuto Shel Mikra, there's no. It's not hard. It's not a stretch to imagine what the rationale of the mitzvah is, right?
Well, if anyone's interested, there's a great Aleph Beis video about this, the connection to Esav and Yaakov Esav with Rivka. He said in a way, Imal Beni, very similar language, and all these things are happening.
Okay. So the Ramban here says...
Aleph Beis did that, or the good parashat.
So first of all, this idea of the problem of ascribing motive to God's actions. Here we say, if you say, Al-Kan Sipor Yagir Rachamecha, Mashdikin Oto, because how can we ascribe motive to God? Right? Yeah, I mean, it's a nice motive to say that Hashem is Racham. And we do say, Rachamav Al-Kol Ma'asav. Right? But to purport to understand what the rationale behind the mitzvah is something that Chazal here discouraged or disparaged. Now, this question of Tamei HaMitzvot is, of course, a central one to Jewish thought. Generally speaking, the Rambam's position is that we cannot... Maimonides. That we cannot know Tamei HaMitzvot. We do the mitzvot. Don't knit your brow until I'm done with my sentence.
Okay.
The Rambam's position is generally that we cannot know the ultimate rationale behind the mitzvot, and therefore any attempt to get at the root, in the language of the Sefer HaChinuch, who was one of the great expositors of Tamei HaMitzvot, what he calls the shorashim, the roots of the mitzvot. The reasons behind the mitzvot, we can't get at the root of the mitzvot, because after all, he is the mitzvah, we are the mitzvim, and you do the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. Right? Ultimately, in the final analysis, Leibniz is right. Nevertheless, the Rambam invested a lot of time and energy in a certain portion of the Mor Nevuchim, and even present in the Mishnah Torah, the great halachic code, is... suggestions.
Where does he say that?
In the Mor Nevuchim.
You can't get to the Tamei HaMitzvot?
That ultimately, yeah, that the ultimate search for Tamei HaMitzvot is unknowable. Meaning, are not.
It's not that we have an obligation to try and.
He doesn't say that there's an obligation to do it. But it might be religiously profitable.
It might help you. No, he balances it. Might be religiously profitable. He says the people who think they're better off not doing it are crazy.
No.
Because the people who think it's like it's somehow better to do something without a reason.
But ultimately, we have to bow before the Creator, and our ability to get to the root, or our need to throw our hands up in the air and say, it's a gzera, right, is independent of our commitment to filling the mitzvah. Right?
That's true, but that's not
dependent, but it's necessary.
Right? So the Rambam here in Hilchos Tefillah says, Misha Amar B'Tachanonim, Mi shiriche malkan sipor shaloli kachhe malabanim, o shaloli shchot otovet beno biyom echad. These two mitzvot are clearly closely related. Yirache malenu. So if you say in your tefillot, God who is compassionate to
birds
and baby cows, not to take the bird from the mother and not to shech the otovet beno. On the same day, you should have mercy on us. Just like you're merciful to them, you should be merciful to us. Uchiyotze be'inyan ze mashtiken oto. This is essentially just a rewording of our Mishnah with the added element of oto v'etbano. Why? Mipnei she'mitzvot elu gzeirat ha'katuvhen ve'einan rachamim. These mitzvot, the force of these mitzvot is their existence as command. And even though it's very easy for us to presume that they have something to do with mercy, right? The statement itself is borderline heretical. Shilu hayu mipnei rachamim lo haya matir lanu shchita kol ikar. Because if really it was about rachamim, we'd all have to be vegetarians or vegans or mashu kaze.
I think, by the way, you can probably make a small viewpoint with
the Rambam.
With the Rambam, from my understanding of the Rambam, he's saying something. It's not just giving Tamei Mitzvot both and Kali. What he's saying here is, you can't say something about God, but if you want to talk about what the when the Rambam does focus on Tamei Mitzvot, he talks about the impact on man, the impact on society, the impact on human body, soul, whatever your mind, whatever it is. Here, I think my impression is the reason with the Rambam's problem here is Veidam Rachamim, meaning you have got you how it like what God's doing, not because of how it impacts you, and that I think is the Rambam's issue.
That'll be interesting in a second. On the posuk of Kan Sipur, the Ramban has something interesting to say. There's something interesting to say in dialogue with the Rambam. Not the Rambam here, but the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. The Ramban says, Ki yekare kan sipor lefanecha, gam zu mitzvah mivu'eret min oto ve'et beno, lo tishchutu biyom echad. Obviously, there's this connection. And the Ramban also makes this connection between the two mitzvot. Ki hatam bishne... What?
Right?
Eretz is connected? Or?
Well, it's explained or is enlightened. But.
Can you pass me the sheet, please?
What?
The copy of the sheet?
Ki hatam b'shnehem levilti hayot lanu lev achzari v'lo nirachim. The rationale behind both of the mitzvot are to prevent us from developing a cruel and vicious and unmerciful heart. O shelo yatira katuv la'asot hashchatat la'akor hamin afal pi shehetira shchita b'minahu. V'hinei ha-horeg ha'em v'abanim b'yom echad olokeach otam v'yot lahem dror la'of ke'ilu yachrit minahu. There's two possible reasons to understand it. One is, if you do unmerciful, what's the opposite of unmerciful? Cruel. Cruel things.
The opposite of unmerciful is merciful.
The opposite of merciful. Yeah, you're right. If you do cruel things, you'll become cruel. What? The famous machlokus between Bali Machshava, whether it's mitzvos, halvavos nimshichim achar apulos, apulos nimshichim achar alev. Last week's parsha. The posuk of the mitzvah of lo tishbru, etzim lo tishbru bo. When you eat the korban pesach, you can't crack it open and suck out the marrow. Why?
Because Hashem said so.
Well, that's the reason. But what's the tam?
Every person has to get every single little morsel of nourishment that he can from every bone and every. But we're not supposed to be hungry people. We eat the korban pesach. We're not eating because we're hungry. We don't have to be so
no, that's not what the Sefer Chinuch says. What? Who cracks open the bones to suck out the marrow? Poor people.
That's what he's saying.
Right. And who eats the Korban Pesach?
Free
people. Ben Chorin. Not slaves. So the purpose of eating Korban Pesach
is not to show hunger.
No. The purpose of eating Korban Pesach is to demonstrate your chirut. If you act like a slave, then you're still a slave. Right? So, to paraphrase, it's about God took the Jews out of Egypt, but now we have to take the Egypt out of the Jews. He took us out of slavery, but now we have to take the slavery out of the Jews. And that's a lot harder. Right? It's relatively easy to cut and paste a population from one place to another. But to change 270 or 400 years of Avdus, it takes us a long time. Right? That may be connected to the idea of why that generation, you had to start with a clean slate from a new generation going into Eretz Yisrael. So on that mitzvah in last week's parsha, the Sefer HaChinuch posits his famous phrase, "Halvavot nimshachim achrei ha'pu'ulot." What? If you act like a free person, you are a free person. If you act like a generous person, you become a generous person. If you act like a cruel, if you do cruel things, right? This idea of I'm not who what I do, right? Is a mistake, right?
Fake it to make it.
Well, no, but that's right. But it's not faking it.
No,
right?
No, but if you do it, you become that person. You become that person. You become the person that you.
Exactly. Well, no, I was listening to this. I was listening to this podcast before with the head of the head of the evangelicals in America, like the head of their lobby. And the interviewer was really putting him on the defensive. He says, how can you be supportive of Trump? Right? He's antithetical to everything your religious community believes in. He just paid a lot of money to a certain actress. You understand? I'm speaking Balash and Sagi Noah. how do you defend this? I'm not talking about Catherine Hepburn, right? How do you defend this? He says, well, we looked into his heart and we saw that he's a Christian. And even, you know, everybody sins. Even King David sinned. Okay. But it sounded like a lot of apologetics to me. So, but the point is that, you know, you become, right? Talk is cheap, right? You can walk the walk, you can talk the talk. Or you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Right? Or, you know, if you do it, then you become it. So that's the Ramban. That way, the second answer he gives is an ecological answer. We don't forbid Shechita. But that does not, in Rabbi Soloveitchik's borrowing of the phrase, we are commanded la'avda u'lishamra. We are commanded to be the guardians of the environment. And even though we're allowed to shecht animals for food and for other purposes, that doesn't mean that we would have license to exterminate a whole species. Right? And it's being shochet ha'em v'ha'ben b'yom echad is not extermination.
Well, it's extermination in that particular.
Yeah, but it's
symbolic of destroying generations and continuity.
And because of that, that's what's wrong. That's the second answer the Ramban gives. Now, the Rambam says something very different. And I'm here, the Ramban just quotes the Rambam from the Mor Nevuchim. Ki tam shiluach hakein v'tam otov et beno lo tishchu b'yom echad kedei lahazhir shelo yishchot haben b'einei ha'em. No. Tzar Balei Chaim. Right? Animals don't have intellect, says the Rambam. But they have emotion. This is, perhaps debatable. And it may depend on how one defines emotion. Right? But the Rambam claimed that for the mother cow to see the baby cow get shechted, it would be painful, right? For the mother bird to see the eggs being taken, it would be distressful. Look, I mean, if you watch 10 minutes of National Geographic, it certainly appears this way. V'ein hefresh bein da'agat ha'adam le'da'agat ha'behemot al b'neihem. And there's no difference between our... It seems like a stretch to us. Now, he's probably not speaking... No?
You have a dog, right? Dogs are different, though.
No, feeling pain and feeling... there's feeling pain if you kick your dog, it feels pain.
No, dogs, you can see that they've got like an emotional aspect to them. Well, cows, sheep.
Well, they do. I mean, they do have. They just—it's you might consider it instinctual, but they definitely have.
Yes.
They definitely.
Yes.
They'll go. The mother will take care of the child. They have to do that.
But in a way, it doesn't really matter because the Torah says it's setting them up, saying even if they don't have, I'm going to present them as if they do have, and in order to teach you to be empathetic.
No, that's what the Ramban says. That's not what the Rambam is saying.
The Rambam says that.
The Rambam is saying that they do feel this pain, and it's wrong to cause them to feel this pain. Ki ahavat ha'em v'chanuta livnei bitna einena nimshach acharei ha'sechel. Maternal love is not a function of the intellect. It's a function of emotion. Aval, it's not a function of intellect, it's not a function of speech. For the Rambam, speech and intellect are almost synonymous. Aval hu mipu'ulot koach ha-machshava ha-mitsuya be-vehemot ka-asher hi mitsuya ba-adam. Ve'im kein, ein ikar ha-isur b'oto v'et b'no, rak b'vno v'oto. Aval ha-kol har-chaka. There's a, I understand the question. So fine. So shech the kid first, and then check the mother.
No, mother.
No, the other. Okay. Check the mother first, and then check the kid. Right? So zenachinami. It should be, but it's also halacha lamais. It's also to do first the mother and then the child, or the child and then the mother on the same day. Right? But enachinami, he admits that that it should be, but. Anyway, then he goes on, and then he quotes this thing about the from Argamar. Well, it's Argamar as it appears in Brachot about the Gzerot and the Rachamim. But you can read that on your own. Let's go back to the Gemara. Hahu de Nachit Kamei de Rabba. Once there was a guy who nachit means he landed. Meaning he landed in front of the amud. It was a shliach tzibur. Once there was a shliach in the presence of Rabba. Omar, ata chasta al kan sipur, ata chusur chem aleinu, ata chasta al otov et beno, ata chusur chem aleinu. So once there was a guy who's davening, and what does he do? He violates the din of the Mishnah. So Omar Rabba, Kama Yada Hai Merabonon Liritsue Lemare. Oh, this guy, he really knew how to get to the Kaddish Baruch.
Well,
hold on a second. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye is there. He says to Rabba, "This guy says this tefillah, the exact tefillah the Mishnah says he shouldn't say." And Abaye says, "Rabba says it seems that Rabba says something positive, right?" So Abaye says, what are you talking about? You're supposed to be mashtikin oto. V'ha mashtikin oto. V'tznan. The Mishnah says you should make him, shut him up. V'rabba l'chadude l'abaye. Who? So Rabba only did it in order to sharpen Abaye, to test Abaye. It's rather problematic. I mean, sometimes you do this with your kids, right? You know, like you
make a mistake.
You intentionally make a mistake, you know, in order to see if they'll catch you.
Or more often you'll say that you intentionally made a mistake.
If they didn't catch you.
No, I'm saying, you'll say that's what you
do. Oh, yes, no, we also try to cover ourselves. No, but sometimes, like, particularly if you're like talking or learning or something like that, you'll say something to see if they...
But you don't do it in public in the Beit Knesset.
Yeah, yeah. So either he did it because he was testing Abaye. Remember, Abaye was both his student and his nephew? He was a generation younger. Right? No, this is Rabba, not Rabba. No, it's Abaye and Rava were contemporaries and Bare Plukta, Rabba was older. Or it's possible. Or it's possible that Yeah, there's another possibility. What's the other possibility? Oh, maybe.
You really know how that line, you know.
Maybe that's not what I was going to say, but yeah, it's plausible.
They weren't sarcastic enough.
Is there another interpretation there?
Sarcasm.
I forgot what I was going to say about this.
I thought
of something else. There's another way to read. Okay. Haudenochit kameh de Rabbi Chanina. In a different case with Rabbi Chanina, there's somebody davening. Omar hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanorov v'hadir v'hachazak v'hamitz. We generally say hakel hagadol hagibor. And this guy, he was cooking with oil. So Omar lay si hamtinu. Are you done? Is that all? Siamtiu l'shavche demarich. Have you finished praising your master? Hashta hanitalta ilav dekitavnihu Moshe baraita. The three praises of Hashem that we utter, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Avanara, Hagibor,
Hagadol,
Gibor, Avanara. Right? Why do we say those three? Because Moshe Rabbeinu used them. But the idea that you continue and go on and add on to that is problematic. Va'atu Knesset HaGadola v'tikninhu. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola established the nusach of our prayer based upon the praises of Moshe Rabbeinu for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anan lo amrinan luhu. Right? We don't add on to that. Va'at amart kulei hai, and you go and add all of this rest. Mashal adam shahayu lo elef alfei alafim dinare zahav. A guy's got a million gold coins. Va'ayu mekalsinoto be'elef dinare kesef. And they say he's got 1,000 silver coins. Lo gnaihu? Trump. Everybody agrees Trump is rich. What do you mean he's rich? He's richer than you. Richer than all of us put together. But he thinks if you say he's got $900 million and he claims he's got $1 billion, it's a gnai. It's an insult to say he's only got $900 million. Right? So if you start praising Hashem, like if we give you a blank check to praise Hashem, and you would say your own praises, so how many words of praise could you say for Hashem? Well, maybe you'd have 10. Infinite, like we say Nishmat. That if our Ilu Finu Maleshu Akayam, right?
Everyone would be different according to their.
No, but that's the point. That you would say 10, and he would say 20, and you would say 30, and you would say 40, and you'd say 50, and you'd say 100? Right? What, there's not 101? Ein la davar sof. It sounds like the Makota. Right? So Omar Rabbi Chanina, right? So this idea is reflected here in the rest of this Rambam at the top. Lo yarbe bekinuim shel shem, v'yomer hakel agadol agibor v'anarav v'chazak v'amitz v'aziz, she'ein koach ba'adam lahagia b'sof shvachav. Right? That you should limit yourself to what Chazal established based upon what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Ela Omer Masha Amar Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Right, and it's lacha dumya tehila. Right, in other words, if we were to let everybody say their own praises, right? So ein ladavar sof. You know, I once read that when the queen, you know, the queen.
Which queen?
There's only one queen. You know, she just gave this interview. Did you see this?
Yeah.
You know, she's 91. She's been on the throne for 65 years. She's never in her life given an interview.
Wow.
So she gave an interview, but it was like under very strict conditions, including that they not call it an interview. They called it a conversation. I think she's like the best. Like if I could like have like an hour private conversation with like anybody, she'd definitely be on my list. Right? She's so interesting. You know, she's been. Yeah, but I've had this long interview. She's been, you know, since. She's like Winston Churchill. She's been there. You know, she's been with every president since Truman. And I think she's hoping she's going to check out before Trump comes to London. That's why they wanted to come, because she doesn't want to see him. Right? She wants to, like, end on a high. So,
I don't know if Obama's ending on a high.
I know that Trump's ending on a low. So, anyway... But when she goes someplace,
I'm so sure.
You know, but she's never introduced, right? When she goes to, like, crack a bottle of champagne across the bow of a ship, or to open a new post office, or to open Parliament, or whatever it is, the only introduction that you're allowed to say is, "Ladies and gentlemen, Her Majesty the Queen." Why? Because it'd be a busha.
You don't say here's
to introduce.
Someone who needs no introduction.
Right? No, it's everybody in the whole country has lived their whole life with her picture on the stamps and her picture on the money, and she's the whole, you know, she is the country. So to say, let me tell you a little something about Elizabeth, right? Right? It's kol ha-mosif goreya, right? Valachas kama v'kama with the melech malchei hamlochim. Right? So that's why there's this idea of lacha dumya tehillah. Right? You say the shvachim that are, even though we do have an idea that you can add to the prayers in the bakashot.
Although the Soloveitchik was opposed to adding almost any personal prayers for the same.
Yes, reason. Yes.
You went to the point of saying if it wasn't for the Chazal having been taking those tefillot, we couldn't say anything at all. Right. How could we possibly have even approached the
So where does Moshe say Kela Gadol Vanera?
Very
good. Is it the same?
Yeah.
You have the Pesukim written there?
No, he doesn't bring it on the whole book. I think the newer edition probably would have the Pesukim. So he says it's just the Dvarim Yud Zayim.
Omer Rabbi Chanina, Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meir Shamayim. All is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. Shneimar. Vata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimcha Ki Im Lira. Pasuk in Parshat Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Listen, Jews, what does God want from you? Only that you should have a little bit of fear of heaven. Mechlal de Yira Milta Zutarte. It makes it sound like Yira Shemayim is no big deal." In Lagabe Moshe Rabbeinu Milta Zutartehi and Achinami. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushamayim was no big deal. What does it mean that for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushamayim was no big deal? It came to him easily. Right? That's achieving Yerushamayim is no big deal if you're Medaber Panim El Panim Arbaim Yom. Varbaim Laila. Right? This is not that Yirat Shemayim isn't significant. Right? But it's easy. It's a piece of cake. If you're Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashal Adam Shemivakshid Emenu Kli Gadol. Vieshlo. Tome Alav Ki Kli Katan. Right? In other words, if there's something that I don't have, and you have it, right? Like if I don't have a car, I'd be like lost. I'm not somebody that's built for public transportation. My life would be, I would really feel, you don't even have a driver's license, right? For reasons that have never been understandable to me. But you don't feel the loss of it. You don't feel the inconvenience of not having a car, correct?
He also doesn't mind walking to Tel Aviv. So.
It's true. He's walked from here to Bangladesh and back. Right? But if my car was in the shop for one day, I would feel my life came to an end. Chas v'shalom. Right? So if I have a car, but if you need to borrow my car, right? You know, we live next door to the Crohn's, so you know they have one car they share between them. So on a day that it happened the other night, Bracha came. She knocked on the door. She said, "Look, Adi has the car. He's in Yerushalayim. He didn't get back on time. I have to pick up the kid from the chug on the other side of town. right? It's raining out. So here, here's the, it's no big deal for me to give her my car keys to let her go pick up her kid. Right? So for me, it's not a big deal because I have it. Right? So if you have Yiras Shamayim, so it seems like it's obvious that you should have Yiras Shamayim. If you don't have Yiras Shamayim, oi. So katan ve'ein lo domei alav kikli gadol, right? But if there's even something small and you don't have it, right?
If you don't have it and you need it,
right? You know, like a little flask of water is not a really big deal, but if you're in the desert without it, you really need it. The kingdom is sometimes lost for want of a nail.
A horse.
No, the kingdom is lost for the want of the nail. The nail falls out of the horseshoe, right? The horseshoe falls off the foot of the horse. The horse is lost. Then the battle is lost. The battle is lost. The horse.
What? Shakespeare.
What's the quote?
My kingdom for a horse. Yeah.
Well, that was the no, but this is I'm talking about something. This is a different idiom.
Is that like
so idiom? So what does it mean? Hakol b'day shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim. So what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch says rak, right? Rak a little bit of yirat shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Omer b'zera haomer shma shma koomer modim modim. Modem modem dummy, right? If you say Shema twice, it's like modem. We should silence you for the same reason. It looks like Shtei Rishiyot.
What was the final take on that? What's the connection between the pasuk and the example of Moshe? A copy of Shemaim Chutz Miyirat Shemaim. How did that relate to the proof that he just gave?
Nothing.
Why Moshe was able to call, El Gadol he was the one who.
For Moshe Rabbeinu, who has this intimate relationship, he's able to make these praises. Once he made these praises, Chazal set it in stone.
So he was the one that could originally say whatever he wanted to say because we're lesser than him. We just say
the question is, well, we can't add, there's three things in the Amidah, so what if I add a fourth, right? So if I add a fourth, I'm no good. So Beseda, so where did the first three come from? They come from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a different relationship. So it's the idea that Shema is like modem, so Meitve Hakorei et Shema v'kofla harei ze migune. Right? There's a brisa that says if you say the Shema, the Koflo, and you repeat it, it's migune. It's improper. But that's not the same as saying Mashtikin oto. Migunehu dahave shtuke. Right? Is it improper or is it something that has to be science floor? Lo Mashtikin le. Lo Kasha. Ha de Omer milta milta. Vitani lo. Vaha de Omer psuke psuke. If somebody says, and I'm only giving these examples so you should understand, not because I'm modeh l'shtei v'shriyot, if somebody says, Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Hashem, Hashem, Echad, Echad, that's meguneh. Meaning, you said the Shema wrong. You're not yotze the chiyuv because you didn't recite it properly. But it's just mishubash. It doesn't appear like you're modeh l'shtei rishiyot. But if you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? So then it looks like you're.
Except for one thing, modim could be construed as two rishiyot.
Yeah.
Because it's modim anachnu lach, to two different rishiyot. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're stating Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Yeah, but you could be one. You could be one and two at the same time. Vehoraya, there's a very popular religion that thinks you can be one and three at the same time.
But they
give
three names.
The same, but they have. In other words, there's God, and then there's subdivided into the three.
But we know that modim, when he says modim twice, he thought it was right.
Yes, and if you say, and if you
that's one word also,
Beseder. So, well, no. In other words, when it says modim modim, does it mean he says modim and then he says the whole paragraph of modim and then he says the whole paragraph? I think it means that he says.
I don't think it's the word beginning of the word.
No, I think it means he says
started,
that...
Because he started, it's absolutely something that Mugam game, he just started the first word.
No. I think it means he says all of modem, and then he says all
of... Apparently it gives something where has opposite. It actually makes a little more sense of that what you're saying. That if you say if you say the words twice, that's your mashtikim. If you say the pasuk twice, then
really?
Well, that fits more with modi modi, because modi modi, if you say the word twice, not the pasuk twice.
Okay. V'tani la'omer Rabbi Papa, Amar of Papa Larava, v'dilman bi'kara lo chivein date. Maybe the reason he said the posuk and then he said the posuk again was because the first time he didn't have kavana. V'hashta kivan date, and then he said it a second time with kavana. Amar le chavruta klape shmaya. Could you be so intimate with heaven that you would say the posuk of shma without kavana? I mean, you never heard of anybody who said Shema without Kavana, right? But at least for the first posuk of Shema, we would think you would get it. We would think you'd get it right. Ilo mechaven date machina le ba'arzafta de nafcha. You whack him with a blacksmith's hammer. I mean, I don't think that's the actual recipe, the actual prescription. But it's like ki'ilu. Somebody who could say Shema without sufficient kavana is deserving of such a thing. Ad mechaven date.
On the bottom, he quotes Rashi from Brachot, and that's what he says.
That
we should teach him to concentrate when reciting, but if he consistently fails, we should strike him.
Oh, not with an actual hammer.
Check the Rashi.
The Mishnah. Let's just. We have two lines left. Hamachane be'arayos mashtikin oto. If the Metargim euphemizes the. Oh, we debated whether euphemizes is the right word. Whitewashes the arayot mashtikin oto. So we learned this already. Tana Rav Yosef kalon aviva kalon imo. If instead of saying ervat avicha ervat avicha means like you somehow. You whitewash it to say something. You don't want to talk about your parents' sexual things. You say their embarrassment. Ha'omer u'mizarecha lo titen la'avir la'molech tana debei Rabbi Yishmoel ha'bo alakuti v'tolib mimenu ben l'avodazara katuv medaber. Right? That's not what the posuk means. Although you're not allowed to marry a non-Jew and have children, but that's not what the posuk means. So the whitewashing of the posuk is to be silenced because you can't lie about the Torah.